legend becomes fact. Print the legend.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Trusting in the sanity and restraint of the United States is not a strategy, and it is not an option.
We don't need no thought control.
What's a conspiracy notion out there? How much influence do you have? Was it you and your fellow neoconservatives that created the momentum towards overthrowing Saddam Hussein?
Nobody does a thing in this town without our approval.
You both were members of Skull and Bones, a secret society at Yale. What does that tell us?
Not much, because it's a secret.
Is there a secret handshake? Is there a secret code?
I wish there were something secret I could manifest.
322, a secret number?
There are all kinds of secrets.
Welcome back to Cloak and Dagger. I'm your host, Lenny Bloom, along with my co-host, the great American Judge Buster, Sherman Skolnick. Sherman's on assignment this afternoon. Filling in for him is my special guest, Captain May of Ghost Troop. Captain May, it's a pleasure to have you back here to bring your treasury of wisdom and knowledge. It's December the 20th, and it's 9:30 p.m. Central Time. Welcome back to Cloak and Dagger.
It's always an honor to be back on the home ship, flag station, Cloak and Dagger with you, Lenny. And, you know, that we're, tonight's a night that, I'm talking from the cold heart of the beast, Houston, Texas, where Halliburton's 10 miles down the road, and, the Bush family is grafted on the place, and the media are owned by the White House, and it's a good place to be because you get a lot of perspective. And from all my perspective, I want to quote the Founding Fathers. These are the times that try men's souls. That was a quote right from the Revolution. And Lenny, you and I have talked earlier today, but I think it bears repeating now. There's not a whole lot of pretense left about whether or not we have a presidency or a dictatorship. And that's even playing by the open media information. Lord knows, with what you and I know going all the way back to the 9-1-1 and before, this is clearly a dictatorship. But now, even regular folks can pick it up. I've talked to lawyers and professional acquaintances lately, people who didn't have any particular gift for or interest in geostrategic analysis or deep-laid plots or conspiracies, who nevertheless had a regard for constitutional governance in America. And now they can't reconcile themselves to what's happened. The president who is, of course, brought it, we call him the president. I call him King George, a.k.a. Boy George. But King George was brought in by a coup d'etat through the Supreme Court. And then King George executed another coup d'etat with 9/11 in which he got the Congress to do exactly what he wanted. And now everybody's acting surprised that King George is saying he can spy on who he wants because he has our best interest at heart and believe him when he says it. And he doesn't need the courts to approve, clear,
right,
or condone his actions.
Right.
And he doesn't need to pay attention to the laws legislated by Congress.
No.
So the dog they brought home has kind of bit him, hadn't it?
You got it. It sure has. And you've been bang on with your analysis and predictions. So where are we now? What we've had some. What you want to talk a little bit about? The airplane crash. Do you want to get into that now, or do you want to leave that for later on?
Let's go right to it. We'll get it out of the way. I think more and more people are coming to appreciate. Let me say this by way of introduction. I speak a few languages. Certainly Russian and Spanish, a little bit of Korean, And I use those languages. I talk to foreigners. I guess I'm one of those people who needs to be spied on because I talk to people. And, of course, that's the great danger is that you talk to people who aren't propagandizing programs. And one of my friends is a Russian gentleman, and he pointed out to me just today, He says, I think our situation in America now, and he's a citizen now, is more dangerous than the old days of the Soviet Union, because in the Soviet Union we knew that the media was lying to us all the time, so we knew not to listen to it or trust it. We learned how to think without it. Here, you haven't figured out yet that they're lying to you all the time.
Uh-huh.
And by you, he meant that in a general sense, the American people.
Of course.
Russians, because we didn't know it was lying to us.
Yeah. And what's interesting is about the numerology is how, as a media scientist studying the media and the laws of media, I came at the numerology and started to study the different harmonics within the numerologies and the meaning of numbers. And you were in the military school, and you came at it sort of from 180 degrees different point from me, and yet we both arrived at the same point, understanding that there's patterns within the numerology, and of course, the satanic cults all do things using harmonics of the different numerologies.
Well, you know, that's exactly the kind of corroboration and confirmation that those of us who have been fighting the info war, which, by the way, is now being admitted to have been fought by the Bush boys for 4 years now, but those of us fighting the info war have taken heart in that people like you from one side, people like me, you know, military intelligence guys from the other side, have kind of reached the same conclusions. And when people as different as me and you, in a lot of ways, come to the same conclusion, there's great strength in that. So my approach to numerology, and we say numerology, and everybody says, oh, my God, it's like studying astrology. And it is. It's exactly like studying astrology or Chinese tea leaves or, you know, anything you want. And the point is that you and I don't believe it. We just believe that they believe it. If you want to understand the Third Reich, if you don't understand that Hitler was using astrological conjectures to do things like timetables, moving charts, and invasion plans, you're understanding about half the story.
That's right.
You've got to understand astrology to understand Hitler.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because Hitler believed it.
Yeah.
And in the same way, numerology comes into these things. So let's go ahead and get on to it. Bush has Sunday gave a press briefing, during which he really took a very hard stand. You know, excuse me, let's go back. Friday, the Times brought the story out, which they had been holding back for a year, which is that the Bush boys had been doing domestic surveillance unconstitutionally against the law. And, of course, the big story there should have been New York Times sits on vital information, keeping it from American people for 1 year. But in the current Orwellian reality, the Times is up for another hero award for brave journalism. I guess they'll get one that, just like Judas Miller's. They're self-aware. It's kind of like an Order of Lenin now. I think a Pulitzer probably rates below an Order of Lenin in my estimation nowadays. You know, it's somewhere up there with between an Order of Lenin and a Snoopy fan club badge. No, really. My God, if you had one, what would you do with it? Hide it in a closet. Put it in there with the bad magazines you don't want your neighbors to know you look at. So for God's sake, well, they're media whores. By God, they ought to just give you a bad magazine. Now, that'd be something with utilitable value.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't be as ashamed of it as you would with a Pulitzer. But anyway, let's get back to it. So Bush came out, and Saturday, rather than making excuses about how he didn't do it, the Times alleged he did, which is illegal surveillance, he said, basically, I did it, and I'm outraged that the Times said so, because it's a secret, and I'm doing it to help you. Then Sunday, he came out with a press conference from the Oval Office. First time it's been done since the war, since the beginning of the war. So we've got heavy iconography going on, and Bush is leading from the front, which he doesn't like to do because he really doesn't have the brains for it, Lenny. So they're pulling out all the stops, and they're going on a blitz to try to recover the initiative.
Yeah.
Now, in the wake of all that stuff, all those sparks that have been kicked around because now certain congressmen are digging in against Bush.
Yeah.
What happened the last 2 days is the last 2 evenings we've had 2 aviation incidents.
Uh-huh.
At which, of course, holds the primetime TV to a story that's really irrelevant to the broad national context, but which has immediate value. Now, the one tonight is an airplane East Coast.
Midwest, Boston, Logan.
Problems.
Yeah.
Right, landing gear problems. So I'm not really ready to talk about that beyond saying that it's interesting how another prime time has been wiped out by emergency coverage. between that and some kind of a shooting incident in a Walmart in Bennings, New Mexico, that's about all they've had to talk about tonight. But last night was more immediate and more interesting because we had several things happen which are most interesting. First off, we have a plane go down in Florida, which, of course, is Brother Jed's state, suspicion point one. Second thing, the plane goes down because the right wing falls off.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know what kind of political message they've wrapped up into this, but, you know, the right wing coming off and the plane crashing and burning is so emblematic of what's going on right now.
Yeah, Captain, you know, I think it's important for people to realize that if something occurs like a plane crash, which doesn't fit into the scheme of messages they want to give, they can just ignore it and you won't find out about it for weeks. I mean, these incidences can be either made into huge events on television, or they can be ignored and disappear. And it's up to them whether or not they want to use it for their benefit or not. There's tons of planes that land all the time with landing gear problems that aren't covered by the television stations and get reported in the local paper and disappear. So when something like this happens, I think our audience should realize that what you're saying, Captain, is they can ignore it and make it disappear, or they can create whatever reality for you they choose.
No, exactly. These plane incidents are a whole lot like the, you remember for a few weeks back in the fall, or in the early fall, every time Bush got in trouble, they had another terror alert. Baltimore Tunnel, D.C., New York. I mean, they just decided to have they decided it was a red alert time. And they did it one time after another. Bloomberg did it once for them, then Baltimore, which is another city under the thumb of D.C., and must be, you know,
right,
proximity geographically, did the same. So we have to suspect these are controlled events, especially when they happen when Little Brother State has an airplane crash the day after Big Brother is up to his butt in alligators with the media and the Congress for a change, putting a little heat on him. They have a plane in which the right wing shears off and it crashes and burns. These are classic political phrases, and they're acted out in reality.
And
then the body count. You know, I always go for the body count.
Yeah.
20 people dead, which is the same number as the number of Arab hijackers.
Exactly.
But guess how many bodies they found, Lenny?
19.
19, just like the hijacker.
Yeah.
Right? In other words, there's the missing body, just like you have the missing hijacker.
Exactly.
And then you have the number code they throw in. And please forgive me, I don't want to seem cold or heartless. I'm really not. I'm on a mission of conscience because I'm trying to stop this killing. But I have to look at it rationally and analytically. When they report something like 3 infant deaths on the plane, a lot of people think 3 little babies, and I do too, but I get over it pretty quickly and I realize they wanted to implant the number 3. The same way that you always get 3 bombs going off when Al-Qaeda hits a target.
Right.
You know, 3 is just, it's one of their little signal flare numbers. They always throw a 3 in there. That's their sign. You know, Lenny, who it was that told me about this stuff was gangbangers. I used to teach in a little urban high school in the middle of Houston. And I got to know about 4 or 5 different flavors of gangs. And they all use these numerics. There's nothing the Bush boys do that's not done by the Southside Crips or the Latin Kings.
Exactly.
It's all standard gangs. Now, this is just a street gang that's managed to put itself into the White House. But everything they've done is thuggery. It's simple gang tactics. And when people said, oh, the Nazis were just a bunch of gangsters, well, yeah, that's true. And so are the Bush boys. Exactly the same kind of gangsters, by the way.
Yeah.
Gangsters are gangsters. They all work the same principles. So anyway, the last 2 days we've had contrived aviation incidents. And underlying all that, let's go ahead and lay it out because
people don't
get the straight talk when they turn on the TV. They're not supposed to. They get programming, not information. And what's going on is that the president has the executive branch of American government enforces law. The courts judge law, and the legislature passes law.
Yeah.
Well, Bush has thumbed his nose at the legislature because he's not following the law governing wiretaps on American citizens in America. And he's thumbed his nose at the court because there's supposed to be a FISA, Foreign Intelligence Service Act, I think, which is governing the right to have wiretaps. They have to get a warrant for that kind of thing, and they're not hard to get. But he has absolved himself of the necessity to even consult the courts. So this man is running things on extraordinary prerogatives, all based upon, basically, I mean, he'll say, well, based upon the war powers that were granted to him to pursue and prevent 911s and whatnot. It all comes back to 911. 911 is the great coup event, and upon that coup, Bush has founded his empire. The whitewash house is built on the foundation of 911. So now we have, at last, we have people saying the kind of things that people like you and me have been saying for years, which is that the man should be impeached. The impeachment word has come out today. Barbara Boxer, senator, has been quoting James Dean, Nixon's old counsel, who says that Bush has committed impeachable offenses and has admitted it. And this has gone public. She's soliciting advice from other legal experts. Senator Rockefeller has pulled out. These people are keeping letters to absolve themselves because they, long ago when they submitted to these devil's compromises, or more likely participated in these devil's bargains, they gave themselves an escape clause. Senator Rockefeller today has published a letter which he gave to Vice President Cheney, indicating that he was greatly disturbed with what they were doing with regard to illegal wiretaps. Of course, he didn't do a damn thing about it. He just delivered the letter and covered his butt with it. And the letter has come out today and covered his butt very nicely. So people are finally starting to use the kinds of phrases like impeachment, dictator, king. These kind of phrases that we've been using for years are starting to be used by mainstream political and even media people at this late point. But
yeah.
The reason they're doing it has nothing to do with any deep principled opposition to a dictatorship set up over America. Indeed, they were part of setting that dictatorship over America, weren't they?
Absolutely. And let's not forget, nothing happens by accident. It just may be, we don't know, but it just may be in the Bush boys' plan that at a certain point in time, they want Cheney in there and W out so that they could try and get Cheney as their 2008 Republican candidate. And we don't know what, but nothing happens by accident. Nothing happens by accident. Everything is programmed and pre-planned and scripted in advance in the global theater.
Yes, let's say that what you see, it's media has become the director of a global play. And the things that happen that aren't planned just get edited out. Let's put it that way. Things
exactly.
Things that aren't planned, but they don't make the news.
That's right.
The news that governs us is news that every bit is agreed upon, albeit by a different procedure than the Soviet Union, but it's all the same processes that made Pravda and Izvestia and Krasnaya Zvezda and all these newspapers I used to have to read for the Army, all these things that I used to translate for the Army because we all knew they were politically motivated and propaganda, these are the exact things that have come into existence in the United States. The New York Times has inherently no more dignity in my eyes than Pravda.
Huh?
You know, there's a saying in the Soviet Union.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It is Pravda in its own way. It's absolute pure propaganda.
Well, sure. You know, they had a saying, and like I say, you know, you have to admire the Soviets to some degree. At least they knew it was close.
Yeah.
And you would have, there were two papers of note, the two state papers, the Washington Post and the New York Times of Russia,
were
Pravda, which meant truth. And Izvestia, which meant news.
Right.
And there was a funny joke, so many good Cold War jokes that the Russians told, which was, Pravda net Izvestia, Izvestia net Pravda. And what it meant is, remember, Pravda's truth and news, and Izvestia's news? What the saying meant was, in truth there is no news, and in news there is no truth.
Exactly.
And that's about what you get now. Well, but you're doing the right thing when you say, you know, what are they setting us up for? An American citizen who doesn't think that way, and of course you're a Canadian, but let's say a North American, since we work by the same broad republic concept, so the ideal of a republic, any citizen of a republic who doesn't think that way, who doesn't think his government is scamming or working against him, is not worthy of the title of an American. That's exactly, particularly the United States.
Yeah.
People don't realize what a radical seedbed of intellectual independence the United States was supposed to be. Nobody in the Founding Fathers thought you were supposed to trust the government. For God's sake, they had a revolution against one. And they always suspected machinations and plots. And they were usually right. And that didn't stop when we became a republic. My God, you can tell that George Washington wasn't the monarch and George Bush is, because Washington got savaged left and right, up and down, and back and forth by the news media. That was considered part of the American independence experiment. So now we have to do what the Founding Fathers always envisioned that we would do. We have to take everything we hear and disbelieve it inherently until we can put it together for ourselves. So what is up is the deep question that all... That's really kind of the thing that makes it, that puts the difference between the good analysts and the wannabes, is can we figure out what's going on? Now, one thing that's a mega thing going on is that, well, we know today Sharon did have a minor stroke, and he's out of the hospital. The timetable, in fact, Webster Tarpley, I have to give compliments on the air, he gave such an excellent briefing the other day about the situation with Israel and Iran, with the stated that the widely accepted premise that Israel is going to look at starting a war, a preemptive war against Iran, by spring. That's one thing that's in my mind. Remember, the New York Times is the biggest Zionist mouthpiece in the world. So the New York Times decided to put the squeeze on Bush. Now, of course, the New York Times wants to say it's because it's a great defender of the First Amendment, which, of course, is exactly what Judith Miller said when she got an award from the American Society of Professional Journalists for defending the First Amendment when it turned out she was really propagandizing to lead us into a war. But the New York Times is trying the same thing. They're the defender of the public. They're the defender of the public after sitting on the story for a year. And we're not even going to get into now, because we don't have time, the number of stories you and I could mention that they're sitting on still and have been sitting on for years and years. So the Times right now has come out to take a swipe at Bush. Lieberman, on the other hand, who represents the Zionist front in the United States, has said that Bush is unquestionably going to be commander-in-chief for 3 more years. We have to prop him up and not undercut him. So I'm thinking there's some kind of deal going down to try to pressure the White House into one or another course of action. There's one thing clearly that is not going down. They are not going to unplug this presidency, because they can't afford to. They cannot afford, in the way they see it. They call it no regard for proper public, for public tranquility. They don't want to disturb or dismay the public with the truth. And the truth is that we're in the middle of a post-Reichstag fire Germany, except it was called 9-1-1 and the Patriot Act.
An inside job, exactly.
Yeah, well, you got an inside job and everything. In fact, I thought Webster was so gifted the other night, because he went into one of the favorite ghost troop era, which is that this is a Fourth Reich and a Third World War, or rather, a Fourth Reich set up to conduct a Third World War, going with the parallels that 9-1-1 equals Reichstag fire, Patriot Act equals Enabling Act, you know, and on and on and on. Gestapo is Homeland Security. You know, instead of communist Jews, we have Muslim fundamentalists. I mean, there's hardly any category, all the way to things like extreme left treatment, which, you know, the Gestapo was famous for. And so is the Mossad, and wouldn't you know it, so are we. Because that's another interpretation that King George has put into this. This isn't spontaneous, random, or even crazy stuff. It's depravity and evil. It's systemic evil. And the systemic evil has crested, and now we stand at a very interesting moment. I've been talking to friends of mine in the peace movement. I prefer to say that I'm in the info war, the anti-war, but I have friends in the peace movement in Crawford, which is where Cindy Sheehan was this summer, and I've been going up there for years to protest against Bush and make contacts. The peace movement pretty much thinks that in the next 2 or 3 months, if the Bush presidency can't be unplugged, then that the next 2 or 3 months, the Bush presidency is vulnerable. It's vulnerable because right now the Patriot Act has been temporarily halted, and the Bush presidency has just admitted to illegal activities. And, you know, right now is the time for American patriotism to come to the fore, and for the forces that want to preserve the republic to make a move to unplug, to legally unplug this presidency. So the whole world's kind of waiting. You know, this is my peace crowd friends. Of course, my anti-war friends and my info-war friends throw in the added thing, which is, yeah, you got 2 or 3 months to see whether or not Congress can bring in the Bush presidency, but the same 2 or 3 months is about the length of time that we had to see whether or not Israel starts World War III. So I'd say that this season, now is the season of our discontent. Shakespeare, it's a season of discontent. We've got 3 months, and at the end of that 3 months, this could well be World War III. Because I think the United States, at one time, you and I both, Lenny, thought the United States would probably start it with a false flag 911 ghost troop coded at 911-2B event. Now it's obvious that Israel can do it for us. You know, Israel can start this thing all on their own. And I think that that's probably the reason that we sold them those nuclear bunker buster bombs. What, last summer?
Yeah.
Do you remember that one?
Yep.
By the way, if anybody wants to go look up the details, since we talked a little bit about numerics and numerology, there's numerology in about half the stuff that comes out of the Senate, including that weapon sale. I think it was like $3.9 billion, 39, for something like 560 weapons, 11.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, they always play this kind of thing. Right now is probably... It almost sounds like we're wearing this out, but the world has never been so close to destruction. I remember at the summer, people were saying this is like the Cuban Missile Crisis back in the late summer and the early fall. Well, now it's still like the Cuban Missile Crisis or the Berlin Airlift or something of that nature, where the most dangerous nation in the world, which 70%, remember 70% of the EU, European Union in 2002?
Yep.
Took a survey and said that Israel was the most dangerous nation on Earth?
Yeah.
Well, very few Americans know that they have 300 to 600 nuclear weapons. They're not signatories to any nuclear regulatory pacts. They don't even admit they have nukes. they have a rabid dog, interventionist attack policy, which, of course, we've emulated. And the numbers right now are winding up. I don't think Israel is going to wait for the world community to deal with the Iranian issue. I think they're going to unilaterally start a war. So
we got about 10 minutes. About 10 minutes, Captain. Go ahead. Sorry to interrupt you.
Well, let's go ahead. You know, that's the general geostrategic picture. But there's a little thing that you and I work on between ourselves, and I do it in my work, and I think you do it in yours, which is what we started with: the numerics, if you will, the numerology that we found that the cultists. Those being the Zionist cultists or Kabbalah-oriented, and the Anglo cultists are Freemasonic, Skull and Bones being one flavor of Freemasonic cultists. So that's why we call it the British Yiddish Axis. And with the numerics, today is the 20th, 1220. Tomorrow will be the 21st. And let's take this as an interesting study day so that people can understand a little bit about how they work the numerics. And 1221, tomorrow, will be the winter solstice. But there's also a symmetry in the numbers, 1221. 1-2 and 2-1 are the same, just reversing one to match the other. That's the kind of stuff they love. And when you throw in there the idea that the winter solstice is the shortest day of the year, the day of the least light, the most benighted day of the year. They love that kind of thing, too. They don't miss that kind of thing.
That's for sure.
Interestingly enough, Lenny, because I think you and I need to do a quick defense of what we do with this numeric stuff. We've talked about Judith Miller and how Judith Miller got a Pulitzer Award the year she invented the Al-Qaeda myth with some other New York Times writers. And then right after coming out of jail for contempt of court while she was covering up her propagandizing activities, she got another Society for Professional Journalists National Award for defending the Constitution.
Yeah.
So these awards are nothing but, as we said, orders of Lenin. It's nothing but a political approval. It has nothing to do with anything but political sanction. Well, there is a movie introduced on 12/21, the day we're talking about, which will be tomorrow. But that movie was introduced in 2001. And the movie that was introduced on 12/21/2001 was brought out to make sure that anybody, whoever tried to do any of this crypto analysis, whoever tried to find meaning in numbers particularly, or words, or pictures, or representations in the common media, would be called crazy. And you might remember that movie, Lenny. It was done in 2001, A Beautiful Mind.
Yep.
With John Nash. Now, interestingly, I found the movie to be so interesting, I didn't have any theories on numerics. In fact, I wholeheartedly believed the movie. I had no opinions at that point. It was before the war. The movie is about a brilliant physicist from the Princeton Mathematics Department who goes to work for the government, and he's just top of the order in every respect, until he suddenly starts to begin to think that there is a terrorist group sneaking a nuke into the United States, and that that's being set up through encrypted messages set up in the media, magazines and newspapers, perhaps TV, whatever, open media. And it turns out that all that supposition was sheer insanity. And in fact, the man's life almost falls apart, and it becomes clear that he needs help because he's imagining, he's paranoid. He's imagining things that are not.
Yeah. Well, look, the numbers, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, the thing is that that movie, in effect what that movie did was it came out and it argued against anybody doing what we're doing. The thing that's interesting is that that movie was prepared before 9/11 and released 4 months after 9/11. And was released on the day 1/2/21.
Right.
To get it eligible for the Academy Award.
Yep.
Which, of course, it won, the same way Judith Miller won a Pulitzer.
Well, that's
it was
right.
A political award.
And
they gave it a blessing.
And John Kennedy was assassinated on November 22nd, 11/2/2. Bobby Kennedy on June the 5th, that's 11. And Martin Luther King on April 4th, 4/4. They always use these numbers. And, of course, the Bible, numerology, the whole Bible is based on numbers. 7 days in a week. I mean, Ten Commandments, 666, 1260 days in Daniel, all over the place. Numerology is at the heart of the Bible.
Well, sure. I mean, the Pentateuch, the five books ascribed to Moses, one
right.
of them is numbers.
Yeah.
How far do you have to go with this? But the deal is that when this movie was brought out on 1-2-2-1, it wasn't just 1-2-2-1. It was 1-2-2-1-2-0-0-1, and you know we dropped zeros in numerology, so it's 1-2-2-1-2-1.
Well,
and they brought it out because it was the shortest day of the year, it was a numeric code, it was in time to get the thing an Oscar nomination. All these factors went into it, and they knew it would be on the winter solstice, and the winter solstice represents the day of greatest ignorance, the day when there is the least enlightenment on the earth. So they brought out their PSYOP movie. A Beautiful Mind is not art. A Beautiful Mind is propaganda.
Yeah.
The best you could say is it's almost as good as Leni Riefenstahl. I mean, that would be a compliment because it was intended to have a political effect. Interestingly enough, I went out and got the book. You can get the book, A Beautiful Mind, 700-page read. Do you know what was peculiar about it? John Nash, the physicist, played by Russell Crowe in the movie, did indeed go crazy. The only thing is his insanity had nothing to do with paranoid delusions that there is encrypting going on in newspapers. In other words, whoever wrote the movie to cover what was going to be done in the United States, not to describe what had happened to John Nash.
Well,
John Nash was a convenient figure to hang this upon.
Captain
and
May,
we do all the,
I'm sorry.
What we do all the time when we play with these numbers, if you want to say we have a beautiful mind, that's perfectly fine to say. But the people who say it should be aware that we're aware that A Beautiful Mind was a propaganda film manufactured before 9/11, distributed after 9/11, given cult purport and meaning, and intended to be a PSYOP. And it was a great PSYOP, so what they do? What they always do. They gave it an Oscar.
Well, Captain May, it's to be or 9/11 to be. That is the question, and we're running out of time. We're going to go now, but we're looking forward to having you back soon every week and give us a continue update as things start to spiral and speed up. It certainly is exciting to watch what's going on and follow it and be in advance so that you can keep ahead and bypass it.
Let's keep one thing in focus as we sign off then, Lenny, which is that right now Bush has got himself painted into a corner. And he got himself painted into a corner because he's a shitty commander. He's the most piss-poor war leader in the history of war. He's not just the worst president in American history. He's the worst leader in the history of modern war. He went in with a, a, an army that was like the Green Bay Packers in 66, and he ran it straight into a mud hole. It's stuck in quicksand now. This is terrible work. He's in a horrible position. The alliance he formed, the little pooch cabal, the cabal that he put together to hold power, everybody's starting to weasel out. It's not that any of them have dignity or heart or patriotism or morals. It's that every one of them's looking out for himself and sees that the deal might be going south. So the only answer right now for Bush is what he wound up threatening at the end of this press conference Sunday. He said, people who question my ability to govern to protect this country, meaning dictatorially, and people who are holding back the Patriot Act are putting America in peril.
Well, of course.
And he's threatening that the Democrats will not be getting the electoral results they expect in 2006. And, Lenny, the only thing that fits to make good on Bush's threat is that Bush needs 911 to be.
Well, of course, his oath to Skull and Bones takes precedent, Captain May, to his oath as President of the United States. I think Americans ought to make sure that if they want a good president for now on, make sure that the guy hasn't taken an oath that supersedes his oath to the Constitution. We'll leave it at that. I want to thank you for being back on and bringing your treasury of wisdom and knowledge and experience, and we look forward to having you back again real soon.
Well, Lenny, it's like the day the earth stood still. At the end of the movie, they say, watch the skies. Watch the skies. In our case, we have to watch the political skies because there are stormy days ahead, and there's no way we're all going to get out of this easy. I only hope that the people who take the worst are the people who deserve it, the Judas Iscariots that stabbed their country in the back. Lenny, this is Ghost Troop Captain May, signing out from Houston.
Read it yourself instead of asking the government why, because that will cause the propaganda to die. Good night, Captain.
Good night, all.
You missed a very dull TV show about Auschwitz. More gruesome film clips. And more puzzled intellectuals declaring their mystification over the systematic murder of millions. The reason why they can never answer the question, how could it possibly happen, is that it's the wrong question. Given what people are, the question is, why doesn't it happen more often? Of course it does, in subtler form. It's been ages since I sat in front of the TV, just changing channels to find something. You see, the whole culture, Nazis, deodorant salesmen, wrestlers, beauty contest, the talk show. Can you imagine the level of a mind that watches wrestling? But the worst are the fundamentalist preachers, third-rate con men telling the poor suckers that watch them that they speak for Jesus and to please send in money. Money, money, money. If Jesus came back and saw what's going on in his name, he'd never stop throwing up.